History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's Postgame Show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Furnier.
Oh, let's enjoy this one, Kansas City. What a team. What a team, what a season. I mean, on the heels of a season-long seven-game losing streak, the boys have rattled off four straight wins to get to 79-65. They return to 14 games above 500 as they sweep the Minnesota Twins, a ball club, one of the only, if not the only, ball club in Major League Baseball that really owned this Royals team in 2024. Okay, we'll see what the Royals do against the Yankees when that series starts up tomorrow. But as far as, well, certainly in the division, there's no team that has held their own against the Royals the way that the Twins had. Not so much of late. Boy, oh boy, a three-game sweep as they take the finale by a final score of 2-0, their second shutout of the series. Royals pitching has held the opponents to two runs or fewer in all four wins on this four-game winning streak. Phone lines are open for you. Let's talk about it. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. If you were one of the 26,000, more than 26,000 on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, we're not going to make you wait on hold. You jump to the front of the line. I'd love to hear from you as we're now down to 18 games remaining in the season. Only six home games remain in the regular season. But with only 18 to go, and a hearty cushion protecting that postseason spot that you possess. Well, my friends, it certainly seems as if there are at least two more games remaining. Right after these 18, the Royals have at least two more. We'll see against who. We'll see who they're playing. But man, you know what I want to get to tonight? Now, there's plenty to talk about. And of course, it begins with Michael Wacha. Seven dominating innings. Two of the first three guys that came to the dish hit him hard. And then I don't think anyone hit him hard again until the seventh inning. Just a masterclass today by Michael Wacha. The defense. At the arm of Hunter Renfroe and Mikel Garcia. How about that unassisted double play that Bobby Witt Jr. started in the third? You want to talk about a freak athlete? The type of athlete that I swear did not exist 40 years ago. You didn't see shortstops making plays like that in 1984. Just special right now, what Bobby's doing on a daily basis, offensively, defensively, answering the bell in every single game, right? Game number 144, as Bobby Witt Jr. is on pace to become just the sixth position player in franchise history to play in all 162. What I want to know from you is, what makes the Royals different? Because I was listening to Matt Quatrero earlier today as he was on national radio talking about the NFL season starting up today and just how much this city loves their Chiefs, their back-to-back Super Bowl champion Chiefs. But the Royals, if you talk to anyone that was around in 2014 and 2015, they'll all tell you, to a man, to a woman, that those runs to the Super Bowl that the Chiefs went on pale in comparison to what this city was like when this squad was making its runs to the World Series. So you guys have lived here your entire life. You've been here longer than I have. How would you describe the difference in your fandom, in your love, in your feeling towards your baseball team compared to your football team? It's obvious. You'll die for both of them, right? You'll sit out in the pouring rain, freezing cold on opening day just to say I was there for Bobby Witt Jr.'s big league debut. You'll sit out in the pouring rain, freezing cold, just to see your Chiefs beat Tyreek Hill and the Dolphins in the first round of the playoffs. No, I've seen you do it all. I'm not questioning who you love more. You love them both. I get it. I'm hoping you can help me explain the difference between the two. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. That's also the text line number, 913-586-7965. Michael Wacha was extraordinary. The defense remained clean, man. How about the clean brand of baseball? The standard that has been set by this team basically all season was once again on display today. Defense, starting pitching, quality base running, and an ego-less approach at the dish. I want to dive deeper into that, into the egoless approach at the plate we saw in the fifth inning. I don't know if I've said that much this season. I know I said it a lot in 2015. I don't know if I've said it a lot this year, but I want to shine a light on that two-run, game-changing fifth inning, and I'll do that coming up in a moment. But first, I want to hear from you. 913-586-7965. Connor in Overland Park, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern, big fan of the show, man. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. What do you got?
Hey, had a great day. It was my sister's birthday, 17. Shout out to Kylie. Hey, Royals played their tail off today, man. I'm loving it. Loving talking about the Royals in October. I'll tell you what. I mean, you said what makes this team different. I'll tell you what. Slugger's birthday. His mom looked good. We had a great day out there. Go Royals. I'm loving it.
All right, Connor, we got you down. What do you say about Slugger's mom? Man, you better be careful the way you talk about a dude's mom. Let's go to Jamie. Jamie was one of the 26,000 in the building. Jamie, what do you think of the Royals' 2-0 series sweep of the Minnesota Twins in the finale?
Vern, first off, you're an absolute treasure for this city, man. I love your show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Love your takes. I love who you are, man. We're blessed to have you.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
I took my 4 and 6, nearly 6-year-old out there today, and we had the time of our life. I mean, just absolutely an absolute ball. They got into the game. They had me running around the outfield, but it was all worth it. And I think this team, to me, they play for one another. And that's what Kansas City's done in the Brett Veach era. They play for one another, and you can truly, truly see it's a clubhouse. Even the veterans that they've added in fit in and take that role on of they've been there, they've experience. But it's like a family environment, and it feeds off into the crowd. It's amazing, and the energy. It's all 14-15, and it's just positivity, and it's a good thing. We're blessed. Let's keep rolling. Let's go take the Yanks. I'm not scared of the Yanks. Like you said, let's line up and play. If they beat us, they beat us. But I'm not scared of them like I would be in past years where I'm like, oh, we don't have a chance against the Yankees. They're gonna stomp us. Now let's go play. Let's have fun. Keep this rolling and play some September, October baseball. Once again, thank you for who you are. Appreciate you. And keep it going. Thanks, Vern.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much. Yeah, looking at this Yankee series that starts up tomorrow night, I'll tell you this. There isn't a pitching matchup where I say advantage Yankees. Now, I'm not going to say everyone is advantage Royals, but there isn't one where I say, okay, New York should clearly be the favorite because of the pitching matchup. I'm sure they'll be the favorite in two or maybe all three games because it's in their yard. Sure. But Brady Singer and Carlos Rodon tomorrow? Yeah, I have respect for Carlos Rodon, but they better respect Brady Singer. Seth Lugo and Marcus Stroman coming up on Tuesday night. You kidding me, man? I'll put Seth Lugo up against anybody. And then Cole Reagans in the finale. I'm not even going to tell you who he's squaring off with because it doesn't matter. You got Cole Reagans. He's one of the three, five best pitchers in the sport. Speaking of, man, what do you say about Michael Wacha? Lowers his ERA to 3.34. Listen to this. That ERA is top 15 in Major League Baseball. It's only the third best on his own team. And isn't that remarkable? All of Major League Baseball, the Royals have four of the top 16 ERAs. Seth Lugo, seventh lowest. Michael Wacha, 13th. Or excuse me. Seth Lugo, 7th. Cole Reagans, 13th. Michael Wacha, 14th. Brady Singer, 16th. Remarkable. Seven strong innings today from Michael Wacha. Seven shutout frames. Walks only one. Gives up a grand total of four hits. But he's able to erase a couple of them thanks to some quality double plays turned by the defense behind him. Yeah, it was a classic 2024 Kansas City Royals victory today, led by pitching, defense, and big knocks with runners in scoring position. Or execution with runners in scoring position is maybe what I should say. Let me look at that fifth inning real quick. A leadoff walk by MJ Melendez. A great eight-pitch walk by MJ. And then Freddie Fermin, a slider up in the zone. He doesn't try to get big. He goes to the opposite field. Mikel Garcia, a slider away. He doesn't try to get big. He shoots it to the hole on the right side created by the Minnesota defensive shift. You know, the job of Garrett Hampson is put the ball in play. Do not punch out. He puts the ball in play. In fact, he belts the ball to deep left field, deep enough to drive in MJ Melendez and put the boys up 1-0. Tommy Pham passes the baton, he takes his walk, and Salvador Perez with a swing and bunt drives in the second run. And Michael Wacha obviously made that hold up with his 14th quality start of the season, his 100th career victory in his terrific career. Royals win 2-0, and the phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Deb was in the building. Deb, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
It was incredible. We were there today. We were there last night. The energy that is in the stadium is palpable. You talked about how special these guys are and what may kind of differentiate them from the Chiefs. I don't quite have the same experience with the Chiefs, but I can tell you a few years back, we had a stadium tour, and Rex Hudler, of all people, saw us down there, and my husband hollered at him that it was my birthday, and we'd come to get his autograph. And he said, oh, we can do better than that, and went down on the dugout, brought back Salvador Perez, who gave me a hug, thanked me for being there, signed his batting gloves, handed them over to me. That was in 2015.
Yeah.
That guy was busy with other thoughts then, but he's never too busy for the fans, and it's just incredible.
No doubt. Deb, thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate you sharing that story. Deb, one of the more than 26,000 in the building that saw the Royals pick up a three-game sweep of the Minnesota Twins, and what a joy this is. Pleased to be joined by Michael Wacha from inside that victorious Royals clubhouse. Michael, thank you very much for the time after an outstanding effort. First and foremost, congratulations on career win number 100.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that very much.
150 innings pitched, 130 strikeouts this season. It's the first time you've hit those two milestones since 2017. Man, how rewarding has this outstanding season been for you?
I just go back to just how much fun, you know, we're having in this clubhouse. It's a contagious feeling whenever you see the other four or five starters we got that go out there and do what they do. And you want to go out there and repeat it kind of like what they did. So, it's just been a lot of fun this year. Obviously, it feels good to get to that number. It's already turned to the next one now. So it's a cool thing for sure. And, something that, you know, I'm very proud of.
And the way you answered that, right, deflecting it and making it about the team, understandably, you know, we've already taken a few calls from Royals fans that were at the game, and they say what stands out about this team is, you know, something that you're kind of alluding to right there is, man, even as a fan, we can recognize that you guys are playing for one another. What does it mean that it's coming across so much that the 26,000 are seeing what a cohesive bunch you guys are?
Yeah, no, it's a thing that, you know, kind of develops over a course of the season. You know, you don't have that in spring training. You're still kind of getting used to everybody and kind of learning about one another. And, you know, through the course of the season, those relationships build. And, you know, you really are battling out there for one another. If a guy doesn't get the job done, you know, the next guy's up to get it done, to pick us up. And same thing on the mound. Hey, you know, I left a few guys on there. Bullpen comes in there and picks me up in a huge way. And, you know, it's a really cool feeling being in this clubhouse with these guys and looking forward to, you know, finishing this season strong and making a little run at this thing.
I don't know if your jaw drops when you're out there on the mound and you see the arm of Hunter Renfroe or Michael Garcia or Bobby turn that double play like he did in the third. But I'll tell you what, man, of late, not just what you guys are doing in the rotation, but defensively, the clean baseball that this team prides itself on has certainly returned.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it right with the word clean. You know, this series was a real good series to get us back on track. And, yeah, those plays were game changers there. You know, that one in the first with Fro to Mikey to Freddie at home, puts the tag on him, was huge, almost momentum shift in there, even in the first. And then, yeah, the couple double plays there were huge as well to, you know, keep the pitch count down and, you know, get back in the dugout type of deal there for sure. And, you know, it's something that we've been doing all year. You know, we pride ourselves on playing good defense and pitching well and getting the timely hitting. And, you know, that's kind of what we base our team off of.
Michael, final thing for you. And again, thank you very much for the time after seven shutout innings, leading the Royals to a 2-0 win. But obviously you see things that we on the outside can't, and you see things because of your experience that we just can't. So when the team was going through a 7-game losing streak, when you're talking with a Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, Alec Marsh, the young arms that are going through this for the first time, what impressed you about the way they handled what was going on with the ball club?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a tough stretch there. And, you know, whenever you're in it, you know, you feel like you're never going to get out of it type of deal. And, you know, just through my experience was telling, hey, every team kind of goes through one of these a year and, you know, just see how fast you can get out of those, I guess, slumping games, I guess. And, you know, those guys were great. You know, I feel like everyone on this team is really good at flushing those games, those bad games, and, you know, believing in themselves to come out and get the job done the next day. And that's going out and competing the way we know how to compete and playing, you know, really good Royals baseball. And, you know, we were able to turn that page and get on a nice little win streak here and, you know, keep it rolling here on the road.
Your ability and your professionalism, man, is endlessly impressive. It's been fun to watch this season and can't wait to watch you for the next few months, hopefully. Michael Wacha, thank you very much for the time today.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You do the same. Career win number 100 for Michael Wacha, his 12th of the season. He's now 10-3 lifetime here at Kauffman Stadium. 10-3 in his career at the K with an ERA just a shade above 3. My game notes following this 2-0 Royals victory. My game notes are brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know when call Jays Southland Tow. I mean, right out of the gate, the way that he answered that question when I'm trying to praise him for the numbers that he's put up at the age of 33, numbers that he hasn't put up since he was 25. Obviously, he should be so very proud of the year that he's putting together, but he immediately makes it about the team. And it got me to thinking about what Jamie said to previous caller, what Jamie said about this, these guys play for one another, and it's so obvious. It begins with guys like Michael Wacha, with Will Smith, with Hunter Renfro, with Salvador Perez, where they make it about the win, right? That's what's important. Now, Salvi has all the home runs in the world, right? He's tracking down George Brett. He's 11th in Major League Baseball with 95 runs driven in. But you know what Salvi cares about? 79 wins. Royals are 79-65, three games back of Cleveland in the division. Guardians and Dodgers scoreless in the bottom of the fourth. Let's go back to the phone calls. Jason was in the building. He was one of the 26,000 at the K today. Jason, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling great, man, Burn.
Good.
I tell you what, the Royals are playing some ball. We had a great Sunday afternoon out there. We started tailgating at 11:30, had a couple pops, had some Italian sausages. Michael Wacha was dealing. I'll tell you what, Piccolo, he's had some amazing signings. Tommy Pham, just bringing it. Gurriel and the other guy, I don't remember his name. But
Grossman,
they're hitting like .325. We lose Vinny, but these guys are filling it in, buddy. What do you think?
No, you're 100% right. That was the number going into the game. Tommy Pham, the only of the trio that this team brought in last weekend. Tommy Pham was the only one to appear in the game today. He went 0-for-2, drew a pair of walks, though. But you take Robbie Grossman, Yuli Gurriel, and Tommy Pham, the three bats that were brought in the wake of Vinny Pasquantino's injury. Those three bats have combined to hit .310 with an OPS of .827.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about, Burn. Like, yeah, these boys are playing some ball. They can do it.
Yeah, Jason, I appreciate the phone call. The numbers that Vinny was putting up coming into, since the All-Star break, he was just a shade above or just a shade below .300. And his OPS was very similar to what that trio was put up. JJ deserves, and the rest of the front office and ownership, they deserve a ton of credit. Everyone deserves a lot of credit right now. The players, the pitching staff, the pitching department, front office, coaching staff, go on and on and on and on. No doubt. Lucas Erceg, another name. Throw him in there. Erceg picks up his 8th save since coming to Kansas City. 21 strikeouts to only 2 walks. That's Lucas Erceg in a Royals uniform. How about that? 21 strikeouts in 17 innings of work. Let's go to Gina. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals win 2-0 and they sweep the Twinkies, Gina.
Yes, I know. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. I brought a friend the first time ever to the Royals game.
Today?
Today is the first time.
Wow.
We're just sitting here in the parking lot and just taking it all in.
Well, what stands out to you? What are the memories that you made? What are you going to remember from this one?
Erceg, that's my boy. He gets the job
done. No doubt.
He gets home to him and it's done.
Yep.
So, yes, I'm so happy.
Well, Gina, it's great hearing from you. I hope you get back out to Kauffman over the final 6 games that remain. But if not, I'd still like to hear from you on the postgame show.
Okay, maybe they ate some cookies.
Possibly. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Yeah. All right. Opponents hitting .200 and even .200 against Lucas Erceg since he came to Kansas City. Am I missing? Yeah, I'm always missing something. Let's go to Rob. Rob was at the game as well. Rob saw the boys in blue get back to 14 games above .500. Rob, what do you think, man?
Great game today. A bit of a pitching duel, low scoring, obviously, but it's great to be in a baseball town like this. I grew up in Washington, D.C. area in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and as you know, they did not have a baseball team during those years. You had to go to ball.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore to watch a game. So it's really great to be in a baseball town. I was also at the Chiefs game in January where they played the Miami Dolphins. That was a story. But, you know, this is a great sports town. I just wish sometimes we had an NBA or an NHL team. But, you know, it's a great sports town, really. I love it here.
Yeah. Yeah, appreciate it. We have you down, Rob. Thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Cohen, who's in Warsaw. Cohen, you're on the postgame show on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, buddy. This is Cohen's dad, actually. It's 11:15, so he had to go to bed for school tomorrow out here in Poland. It's a little bit late for him, but he wanted me to pass on a message for you. So he listened to every one of your shows, and he said that you were wanting 8 wins out of this this Riptide session, yeah. And we're at 8 wins today. So we had a little party, and he wanted to just convey his congratulations to you for that. And then we were just kind of wondering, where do you think we end up in the wild card stand at the end of the season? Well, I'll listen off air.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call. Now listen, I moved, first of all, I moved to Kansas City in 2012. And it's normally once a week someone calls into the post-game show and they're from a city I've never heard of. So I just go along with it, and okay, here's the latest city I've never heard of. When it said Warsaw, I certainly wasn't thinking you were over in Poland. Thank you very much. It's always nice hearing from Cohen. Nice to hear from the old man as well. 8-9 in the Riptide. Yeah. Yeah, this 20-game stretch that I thought and I believe had the strength to take this team under and drown their postseason chances. But if they could just do what they've done all season, play the clean baseball that we've become accustomed to seeing, meet that standard that they set for themselves back in spring and that they executed in the first few months of the season. Now, that standard, of course, elite starting pitching, elite defense, aggressive base running, and quality plate appearances with runners in scoring position. I thought if they could do those things, that at worst they would win 8, 9, 10 games in this 20 stretch. I wanted 10-10, but I said I'll be happy with 8-12. And yeah, Cohen's dad, yes, they've already reached 8 wins, 3 to play, 3 games in New York. They could end up with a winning record in the Riptide. They could meet my hope of a 500 record in the Riptide. And, you know, the fact that they hit 8 wins is why, you know, nothing's for certain in this game. But you look at what even, you know, you look at what the odds makers say right now, you know, the odds they give the Royals to make the postseason. They're giving the Royals the implied odds of a 97% chance the Royals are playing in October. They got money on it. This isn't just some nerds, right? You know, this isn't just Fangraphs Baseball Reference. This is a sports book. 98% chance the Royals go to the playoffs? Wow. So, yeah, I'm prepared for it. I know my calendar's clear on October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd for that wild card round. To answer your question, Cohen, yeah, Cohen's dad, I still think it's, even though, listen, you know, the division is still very much up for grabs. Cleveland now trails in Los Angeles, 1-0 in the bottom of the 4th, Dodgers threatening. If that score holds, the Royals are only 2.5 back of Cleveland in the division with 18 to play. So the division's still a possibility, which means the first-round bye is still a possibility. I've said for a while I want Baltimore. That's the team I want the Royals to face. Now, I'll take the bye instead, sure, happily. Obviously, you want the division title. But of the three teams that seem most likely, Houston, Baltimore, Yankees, I'd rather go to Camden. I'd rather play 3 games against that rotation. I respect the heck, obviously, out of former Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burns. but I'll take Cole Reagans up against Corbin Burns. And then Lugo, Waka, Singer against whoever they want to throw out there. Zach Eflin. Is Rodriguez healthy? Now, who else do they have? Who am I afraid of in that Baltimore rotation? Who am I afraid of in that Baltimore bullpen? I'll put Lucas Erceg up against Craig Kimbrell or whoever else they're going to throw at you. I'll throw Bobby at Gunner. I'll throw Salvi at Adley. I want Baltimore. That's who I want to see. Because I don't believe they respect the Royals the way that they should respect the Royals. And you know Baltimore fans think Gunner's better. And you know Baltimore fans think Rutschman's better than Bobby. So, you know what? Oh, boy. Yeah, now I'm getting myself even more juiced up. I really want the O's now. And we can break out the old shirts. These O's ain't loyal, right? Oh, man. Or royal. How'd that go again? Let's go back to the phone calls. Jake. Jake was in the building today. Jake, what'd you think of this Royals victory, man?
Man, I love it, Vern. I love how fired up you are about the O's. Today was beautiful, man. We had a sweet little all-star suite, 31. Nice. We had a great time. We were here the last couple days, or I wasn't here last night. I missed a good one last night, but clean baseball all around, man. Yep, this whole series was a clean sweep and clean baseball. I caught you on that, man. I agree. I think we keep this going. We can win this division, man. I really do.
Yeah, listen. Appreciate the phone call, Jake. I'm not putting anything past this team. Now, I've said that plenty, and then I've put things past this team. So, listen, and that's why I try and come across as someone that knows that he knows nothing at all. I don't want you to think that I believe I have this figured out. Because when Vinny went down last week, man, I was on the floor. You guys tried to pick me up, but it didn't work. I was brokenhearted. Okay, yeah, you brought in Pham and Gurriel and Robbie Grossman. I appreciate it, JJ. John Sherman, man, that's really cool of you. I appreciate you guys not waving the white flag or just saying, oh, well, let's see what happens. Now, I respect the aggressiveness, but I was bummed out. Oh, man. I gave up on the division. And I was the only guy in August. I'm screaming at Carrington. That was bogus of me. I'm yelling at Fesco and Dusty. Now, don't tell me about the third wild card. I want the division title. You guys were telling me I was crazy. And then Vinny went down, and I gave up on the division. I'm begging this team, just hold on. Just hang on, please. And look at them. They've won four in a row. And they got the Twins in their rearview mirror. Just hang on. What a fool. What a fool I was. They could be within 2.5 games of the division crown by the end of the day. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. That's 913-586-7965. Royals win 2-0. They sweep the Twins, and they're on their way to the Bronx as Bobby and Aaron Judge have to decide once and for all who is the American League MVP. That race picks back up tomorrow night in the Big Apple. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5 o'clock. And by the way, if you haven't been to the K yet, running out of time, right? 6 home games remain. I have 2 tickets to the final 3 games of the season. I'll give you the chance to win them tomorrow and every day this week, 1 hour before first pitch. So be listening tomorrow at 5 o'clock right here on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. We're 96.5 The Fan. We take a quick timeout and we get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass, to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. Bounce softly back up the middle. Witt scoops it up. Races to second. Steps in the back. Sling to first. In time. He got him. A beautiful double play from Bobby Witt Jr.
Just a freak athlete. The 24-year-old MVP candidate did his thing today defensively there, picking up Michael Wacha, who gave up a leadoff single to Christian Vasquez. But first pitch to the Twins leadoff hitter is grounded to the second base side of the bag, and Bobby ranges to his left, collects the ground ball, runs back to second base, and in one fluid motion steps on the bag while throwing a seed to Salvi at first for the double play. Bobby getting it done, as always, defensively, and as always, offensively as well. 1-for-4 on the day. That one was a 112-mile-per-hour rocket to left field for a leadoff double in the eighth. His 82nd extra base hit of the season. That's second most in Major League Baseball, second only to Aaron Judge. And those 82 extra base hits for Bobby this year tie Jorge Soler's 2019 for the third highest total in Royals franchise history. My friends, we have 18 games to go, and Bobby is just four extra base hits away from Hal McRae's single-season franchise record that was set almost half a century ago. Hal McRae had 86 extra base hits in the summer of 1977, and George never topped that. Sween Dog never topped that. Salvi, Soler, you know they've never topped it. Bobby, likely, with 18 games to go, I have to believe he'll run into another five extra base hits. Just a remarkable season that we're seeing from a remarkable young man. The Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member-owned, open to all, invested in you. So Bobby's double play there in the third inning maintain a scoreless contest, and that scoreless game would stand until the fifth inning, when some egoless approaches at the dish turned into bases loaded, nobody out, ultimately turning into two Kansas City Royals runs and another Kansas City Royals victory. They sweep the Twins, winning the finale 2-0. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Charlie was in the building. He was one of the 26,000 to turn out on a gorgeous Sunday. Charlie, how you doing?
Nah, I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, Brian, it's been a pretty good season all the way through from, you know, I work out there at the stadium, and just to go from, you know, being in a cellar team to where we're at now, it's just they've had the atmosphere has been outstanding out there this year, but just kind of worried about this Yankees series coming up.
What are you worried about?
Well, I mean, even if we get to 2.5 behind, you know, first time around playing the Yankees, they took 3 out of 4, and I mean, but we're a different team now. But
yeah, if Wacha was banged up for that series, you guys were, you know, yeah. You had Dan Altavilla start a game,
and what worries me about it is, you know, Cleveland plays Chicago, and if they sweep them and we get swept by the Yankees, it's going to be
a lot of ifs. I just saw the White Sox slap around the Boston Red Sox today, so I wouldn't look too far down the line.
But I would just say, where would we need to? Where would you see us making up that ground? When we play
well,
the Detroit,
I don't think it's division title or bust. You know, if they don't win the division, it's fine by me. You know.
Yeah, it'd just be nice to see a playoff game out there at the stadium. I mean,
yeah,
that would,
sure, but there are other ways. I mean, they can go to Baltimore, take the series, and then the ALDS will have games 3 and 4 right here at the K.
I would definitely want to play Baltimore in the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, we all want playoff baseball to return to Kansas City, but the fact that it's September 8th and we're not dying of laughter when talking about the Royals in the playoffs. Like, it's not a joke, right? They lose 106 last year, and yeah, they're going to the play. There's no reason why I should be so hesitant. Why can't I say it confidently into a microphone? Why? You know why? Because you'll blame me if something catastrophic happens. So I'm just not even going to put that into ether. You can, and I agree with you if you do. But Charlie, don't worry about the Yankee series, man. Brady Singer, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans. They're going to see the best you have. They did not see that when they came to Kauffman Stadium a few months ago. And listen, even if the Royals don't win the division, if they don't track down Baltimore or New York and grab that top wild card spot, if they're not guaranteed a home playoff game when the regular season ends, you know, it could be 2.5 hours into the postseason to where you start feeling, oh, okay, no, we are going to have a home playoff game. Meaning, game one in Baltimore, Cole Reagans shoves, hands the ball to Lucas Erceg, who continues his dominance. Bobby and Salvi do their thing. Royals win 3-1, and the entire Inner Harbor is so tight. Their backsides are so puckered up. That whole fan base that has been all about, you know, it's World Series or bust now, right? We know we have the goods in Baltimore. Now we need to make some noise in the postseason. If you go in there and take game one and they're immediately up against the wall, right back against the wall, I think we'll be talking on the post-game show after game one. I think we'll be talking about who do you want in game one of the ALDS? Who do you want to see come to Kauffman Stadium for game three? So I wouldn't fret too much about winning the division, securing a home playoff game. Yeah, it would be ideal. But just get there and let's see what happens. Thanks for the phone call. Shane was in the building as well. Shane was one of the 26,000 here, Vern, to see the boys win. What's going on, Shane?
Vern, how are you doing, bud?
I'm great. How are you?
I think that Waka needs to sponsor us to come watch him play, because we were in the building in Cincinnati when Blanco put up 8 RBIs, and then we were there today, and he was just absolutely dominant. But I kind of wanted to sit back and I just hope that everybody in Kansas City realizes and can appreciate. I mean, the Royals are playing meaningful baseball after April. The Chiefs are going on for a third. The Current, I believe, is in first place. KU is playing relevant football. And I'll even throw out, my K-State, my Missouri fans, my friends, that they're playing relevant football too. We're all in the top 25, and I just want everybody, and I'm going to push back on you a little bit, because I think I'm on record for saying division. I don't think we're going to stop it. I don't think we're going to be limited to wild card. I think we're on for the division pace, and I'm excited. I'm looking at New York. I'm not worried about anything. We got 3 of the top pitchers in the game going, and it seems like we're just back on track. We were going to take a hiccup. Every team goes through a losing streak, and look what we've done in return. We've come back, put up 4. I don't see why we can't put up 7. We have a 7-game losing streak. Let's turn it around and go with a 7-game winning streak. And that's all I got.
That's a great phone call, Shane. That's exactly what Spike in St. Joe's been saying on the text line. Now, once that 7-game losing streak was over, Spike's been screaming. They're about to win 7 straight. And here they are, 4 down, 3 to go. I'll tell you this, Shane. I don't know if Michael Waka's listening. If you missed it, Michael Waka was nice enough to call into the post-game show just 20-30 minutes ago. If you ever missed the post-game show, don't forget, you can find the podcast the All Things Vern podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. But yeah, Michael Wacha, man, I was this close to throwing it in at the end. Just a slight nudge of encouragement to Michael to pick up that player option and return to Kansas City next season. I know what he's doing right now would lead you to believe that he's going to test the free agent market at the end of this campaign, but we shall see. He's won 8 of his last 12 starts, and over the past 4 months of baseball, Michael Wacha is 11-3 with an ERA of 2.62. He's held opponents to 2 runs or fewer in 15 of his last 19 outings. After the game, the final boss on this ball club, Lucas Urseg, picked up his 8th save of the season, and then he, on the field after the game, he received the Joel Goldberg treatment on Bally Sports Kansas City. Here's Lucas Urseg with the great Joel Goldberg talking about Michael Wacha.
I mean, all you see out of Wacha is consistency and aggressiveness in the zone. For him to do what he did today was really special, and you know, he kept us in the ballgame the whole time. He didn't really let the situation get too big. He handled it very well, and you know, he just passed it on to the next guy. So,
this team from before you got here has had this element of being resilient whenever they get down. There haven't been a lot of down moments, but you're part of that. You guys lose 7 straight. You had a couple of rough outings and adversity, and you bounce back. The team bounces back. What are you seeing from this group as it gels here in September?
That we, you know, never hit the panic button. We just go out every day and treat it like just another baseball game. You know, I like to keep my process kind of consistent, and I think a lot of these guys do the same. We have a good mix of young up-and-coming talent and some, you know, vets that have been around the game and kind of know what that playoff atmosphere is already like. So they're already teaching us, you know, how to play, how to act, how to, you know, be a professional.
Last thing, you're experiencing what playoff baseball feels like every one of these games, as you talked about, mattering so much. Fans are re-engaging with that playoff feel, first time since 14-15. What is it like for you going through this the first time?
That's absolute electricity, man. I say it to all my friends and family and to all you, you know, who give me the support. I'm just blessed to be here, and, you know, this is really exciting.
It's a 16-pitch ninth inning for Lucas Urseg as he secures the Royals' 79th win of the season and their 8th shutout win of the season. Shoot, their 2nd in the last 3 games. Royals win 2-0. We go to Zach in Kansas City. Zach, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Vern, I'm driving home from Lincoln, Nebraska right now. I was at the Nebraska-Colorado game last night, and it was an amazing atmosphere. I heard it was a beautiful atmosphere at the K last night as well. You know, the Chiefs start the season with a win. The Cornhuskers are ranked for the first time in a few years. The Royals have won 4 in a row. I'm just wondering, you know, who has it better than us right now? Or at least
nobody.
Nobody. At least me, myself, and a fellow Husker fan. But
are you just digging at me because you know I'm a Michigan fan right now? Was that just a Harbaugh setup?
I had no idea you were a Michigan fan.
All right, my bad. I thought that was a setup. I'm a little touchy.
Yeah, I mean, understandably. But I think Michael Wacha has been probably our best starting pitcher for the last 6 weeks. I think that might go a little bit under the radar. Obviously, he was pitcher of the month. But, I mean, he's been nails for about since late July.
Since May.
But yeah, just
since May 9th.
I mean, You mentioned earlier, 11-3. You know, the difference, you know, the reason why I'm so much more of a Royals fan than a Chiefs fan, obviously I've lived in Kansas City my whole life, but I've always had a much deeper connection to the Royals. You know, growing up playing baseball, enjoyed it much better than football. But, you know, it's the way that the Royals have always played the game. You know, obviously we talked about the frenzied hitting all the time, and obviously going back to the winning seasons, you know, it's not about one guy kind of carrying the team. Obviously, we have a superstar now. I don't think on our previous playoff teams you can necessarily say there was one standout superstar.
Nobody like Bobby, that's for sure. You got George, and that's it.
Exactly. But I think even now, like you have your main guys, but it's just like a championship NBA team. You know, you have to have the role players. And I think that's what makes Royals baseball so enjoyable to watch, is you have these high-quality role players that do their job, like we did in the fifth today, just get the job done. And it's so satisfying watching good baseball again. Obviously, you know, it's kind of expected with the Chiefs at this point. It's like, if we win, you know, we burn the city down. So it's nice to finally have the Royals kind of back on the map. I wish we would have some more fans kind of appreciate what's going on. I know there's a lot of people that are just kind of too deep into the Chiefs, and they've kind of
the TV thing's killing them too, but, you know.
Right, yeah, of course. You know, that's a problem in its own right. But I really hope people in Kansas City are taking notice. I mean, it's September. Like, who are we kidding?
Oh, they are. Zach, I appreciate the phone call, man. The radio ratings, the television ratings for the Royals are through the roof. Yeah. Well, okay. Attendance isn't where anyone, you know, wants it. But, you know, Kansas City watches everything, honestly, when it comes to sports. But especially their Royals and obviously their Chiefs. Royals right now still fifth lowest average attendance in Major League Baseball, but they're there, they're watching. And Zach, you're 100% right about Michael Wacha. It has gone underappreciated. Now, not within the stadium, right? Not within the clubhouse. I don't think anybody in the press box, right? Annie Rogers of MLB.com or Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. People that are following this team on a daily basis, I don't think they're missing it. But that's also a reflection of what Cole Reagans has done, what Seth Lugo has done, what Brady Singer has done, and that, you know, Michael Wacha's been, I mentioned it earlier, he's been outstanding. One of the 15 best ERAs in baseball. But it's only the third best on his own team. Now, you talk about the role players on this squad, and no doubt, you know, everyone's bought into their role. Everyone's excited to play whatever their role is, however they add value to the team. But let's not act like Bobby's the only... Okay, Bobby's the only superstar. Fine. You want to say that? But Salvador Perez is likely on his way to Cooperstown. Cole Reagans is one of the five best pitchers on the planet. Seth Lugo's having one of the 15 best years in the sports. You know, Michael Wacha, Brady Singer, they're, you know, top 25 right now in Major League Baseball. You know, those six, and if you want to throw Freddie Fermin in there too, go for it. Those six, throw Lucas Erceg in there. You know, they're more than just role players. They're players that have put up all-star type seasons. Honestly, they have. I know it might sound silly, Freddie Fermin, an all-star. Yeah, no doubt. Freddie today.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
1-for-3, his batting average is now .290. When you look at the rest of Major League Baseball and catchers, how many guys have as many at-bats as Freddie Fermin and are hitting .290? I'm taking a look at it right now. Of all Major League Baseball catchers, there's only one. Yeah, only Yainer Diaz of the Houston Astros has as many at-bats and a better batting average than Freddie Fermin. He's having an all-star type of season. He's just on the same team as Salvi. He's suffering the same way that Waka's suffering. It's because we're all performing at such a high level that you might be missing at what I'm doing on an individual level. Michael Wacha. This is only the third time in his career he's had a season with 150 innings and 130 punchouts. 2015, 2017, in 2024. Well, that's something. You do it when you're 23, you do it again when you're 25, and then you don't do it again until you're 33? Congratulations to Michael Wacha on the win today, career win number 100. Royals win today, 2-0, their fourth straight win. They sweep the Minnesota Twins out of town and out of our face, maybe, for the rest of the year. Phone lines are open. Text line is there as well. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Mike and Shawnee. Mike, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, leaving the stadium, great win today. Great show, by the way, always. Couple things. You know, I echo some of your previous callers. I've been a Royals fan since, well, my very early days. I got to go to the old stadium. So that tells you how long I've been a Royals fan.
Sure.
With that, I've seen some really, really bad teams put on the field here. And this is September. And I can remember times where, you know, they could have taped $100 bills to the back of the seat so they weren't going to get 26,000 in that stadium. So appreciate what's going on now, Kansas City. I would put this season somewhere between 14 and 15. I don't think the majority of the fans in Kansas City saw 14 coming. They expected us to go all the way in 15. I think they're hoping for a good run into the postseason this year. But I'll end up with a question for you. Hampson's RBI sack fly in the fifth. Mm-hmm. How many stadiums is that a grand slam in, do you think?
I can give you the answer. It is, oh, why isn't that? It's more than 20, I can tell you that. No, I'm
saying it was close.
Yeah, I have it right. 23 of the 30 stadiums, it's gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you for the show. Appreciate it. Let's go Royals.
Yeah, my pleasure. Bases juiced, nobody outs, and Garrett Hampson puts a beautiful swing on a 1-0 offering from Simeon Woods Richardson, 103 miles per hour off the bat, 379 feet to deep left, into the glove of the Twins left fielder, but MJ Melendez comes trotting home from third after he drew a leadoff walk, an 8-pitch walk by MJ Melendez. Hey, real quick, speaking of MJ, since the beginning of August, he's doing it again. You know, what we saw from MJ last year after the All-Star break, he's doing that again. Since the beginning of August, his OPS is just under 850. That's what he did last year, an 850 OPS in the second half. And he's doing it again. Now, the only difference is this year's second half is going to be a touch longer than last year's second half. So, well, you know MJ Melendez. I don't have to tell you the type of game-changing power he has. And if you remember 14-15, you remember Mike Moustakas in Anaheim and Eric Hosmer in Anaheim and Alex Gordon in Baltimore. Some big home runs from guys that weren't necessarily, at that time, home run hitters. Royals win 2-0. Nice to hear from you, Mark. We got to take our final quick timeout. If you're on hold, stay right there. We get right to your phone calls after this.
You're listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Now the 0-1, and he swings. Jumps up the third base line, slow roller. It's going to stay fair, untouched, a run scores. A Salvi infield RBI single, it's 2-0. He couldn't have done that any better with a pool cue.
Steve Stewart on the call, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan. That's the second of two runs, the only two runs that the Royals scored, and the only two runs, well, they didn't even need the second run because Michael Wacha, Chris Bubich, and Lucas Erceg put together another shutout, the Royals' eighth shutout of the season. That fifth inning, again, started with MJ's 8-pitch walk. Freddie Freeman going to the opposite field. Michael Garcia going to the opposite field. No one trying to play hero. Garrett Hampson puts the ball in play. Drives in a run. Tommy Pham could have very easily tried to play hero. Shoot, Tommy Pham's won you two games already on this homestand. Why not swing for the fences? I mean, you know Bobby's on deck. You know they don't want to see Bobby, so you're going to get something good to hit. But Tommy Pham lays off that full count offering and takes his walk, loading the bases for Bobby. Bobby expanded. Bobby actually went down swinging. Bobby probably had the worst plate appearance of all in that two-run fifth inning when eight of the nine Royals came to the dish. Salvador Perez, as you just heard there, with two outs and the bases loaded, an 0-1 pitch. He swings over top of it, a swing and bunt, dribbles up the third baseline. Fermin comes down from third. Everybody's safe. Royals are up 2-0, and they would go on to win by a final count of 2-0. After the game, Minnesota Twins manager Rocco Baldelli didn't take any questions, didn't have a normal post-game media session where you sit down and you relive the ebbs and flows of the game. Now, Rocco Baldelli shows up, looks at the media, and says, "That was an unprofessional series of baseball that we just played, and that's all I'm going to say about that." Turns around, walks out. So what did you just do to the Twins, Kansas City? Huh? Matt Quatrero, that's your buddy, Rocco Baldelli, and you guys just, what'd you just do to their season? Got Bailey Ober all messed up. I don't know what you did to Yoan Duran and Griffin Jacks yesterday. I mean, Denny ripped apart Rocco Baldelli last night. Boy, oh boy. What did you do to the Twins? Are the Twins going to recover? Because I see my friends in Detroit right now, they have their crosshairs now on the Twinkies. Royals don't need to look in their rearview mirror at anyone. At Seattle's six back, and I think they're the next closest competitor. Wow. Rocco Baldelli says, "Yeah, we stunk. I don't want to talk about it. See ya." Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. 18 games remain in this magical carpet ride that we call 2024. Let's go to Vince in Overland Park. Vince, you're next up on the postgame show on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. I wanted your take on a couple of quick things. Number one, I've heard some calls about the Yankees, the mighty Yankees. Well, yeah, they've got a couple of pretty big boppers and good hitters. But, Vern, I'm looking at that bullpen and the closing end of the Yankees bullpen. It ain't pretty, which is good for us. First of all,
most teams.
I don't think they've got it. The Riviera and the Goose Gossage days aren't there this year. It ain't.
Yeah.
And I think our starters could neutralize them. They had an opportunity to get Lucas and some other closers, and I don't know why they didn't, but I'm glad they didn't. But that's the first thing. We'll get your take on that. And secondly, is there an ounce of anything to do with, Matt, manager Matt had to leave for his mother's funeral. Three games, we lost him, and now he's back. And we won four straight games. Sure. I want your take on it. And finally, the Minnesota manager saying his players were unprofessional. I thought what he did was extremely unprofessional.
Yeah.
And I'll listen to you off air.
Yeah, nice to hear from you, Vince. Listen, your thoughts about the Yankee bullpen, I think you can say about every team's bullpen, save Cleveland, San Diego. Even in San Diego, didn't Suarez just cough it up the other night? Yeah, listen. Pitching-wise, you should fear no one. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. The only reason why I'll choose Baltimore over New York is I'd rather see Corbin Burnes than Gerrit Cole. I'd rather see Gunnar and Adley than Aaron and Juan. That's just me, though. But Baltimore's bullpen can be had, just like the Royals' bullpen can be had. Yankees, shoot, the Royals have gotten to Cleveland's bullpen. They just got to the two best arms in the Minnesota bullpen. Yeah, there isn't, like you said, there isn't a Mariano Rivera. And they're, you know, Emmanuel Clase is as close as they come. Other than Clase, it's a huge drop-off, right? There is no HDH. But come October, who knows? Now, there are still quality arms in the New York bullpen, in the Baltimore bullpen, Cleveland, Kansas City. Everyone has good arms, right? They're big leaguers on good teams. Now, come October, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, Lucas Ursegg and James MacArthur and Sam Long get on a heater. You know, no, they don't have the body of work of an HDH, but who's to say they can't get red hot for 3 weeks? And then you also have to take into account that come the postseason, come a three-game series, you don't need five starting pitchers. So a Lucas Heal could go to the bullpen. Lucas? Just like Michael Lorenzen could go to the bullpen. An Alec Marsh could go to the bullpen. A Brady Singer could go to the bullpen. Not that they're a reliever, it's just you're one of our best arms and you're not going to get the start, right? It's going to be Lugo and Reagans and probably Michael Wacha. But now that bullpen, the talent out there improves. You know, you look at Houston. You know, look at all those starting pitchers. You know, they could have Justin Verlander in the bullpen. They could have Ronel Blanco in the bullpen. So the teams that you see over the course of 162 are going to be very different than the one that you see in a three-game series, a three-game in three-day series. As far as Mac Cutrero's absence, you know, does it have anything to do with the losing streak and then him returning and them winning? Well, I can't completely dismiss it. It's certainly not just one thing. You know, that of course, that's not the sole reason, but I'm sure the boys, you know, rally around the manager. But at the same time, that in agreeing with that, that would be like saying, oh, well, without Q, they're not playing hard for Paul Hoover. They're not playing hard for one another. No, I can't get with that. Now, this team, like we said from the outset, like we heard from Michael Wacha when he was nice enough to call in, they play for one another. So just because one of their, you know, brothers, one of their family members is out, it doesn't mean that they coast. I mean, I can't completely dismiss it because they are humans and with, you know, human nature, emotions, and all those things. But that would spit in the face of everything that this team preaches, right? A day at a time, control what you can control. Don't worry about tomorrow, who's not here, who we're missing, just play for one another. I appreciate the phone call, Vince. Let's go to Batman. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. How you feeling, Batman?
Man, I feel good, Vern, you know. When it's packed out there at the K, like it has been in his last 2 days, resembles like an iconic citadel out there. I mean, it's not only the playoff atmosphere; it's in the air, and you can tell with this team. I mean, you've come along with this roller coaster ride and everything, and you know what? The thing of it is, we got the difference between us and the other teams in the hunt. Is that number one, we got somebody like you that keeps the fans informed of what's going on. And I told you that you never get too high or too low. You're like the best in the business of what you do.
Well, that's very nice of you, Batman. I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go to Double J. You're next up on the postgame show as the Royals sweep the Twins, winning the finale 2-0. What's happening, Double J?
Fun, not much. Just came back into town from St. Louis. Went down for my cousin's wedding. So
I was rocking my Royals stuff down there this weekend. Some of those St. Louis fans didn't really like it, but hey, so be it. For the playoff race, baby, and we're about to make the postseason. So, yeah, that's all I got to say to St. Louis fans. But there I just want to say, what a great series against Minnesota. Feels awesome to sweep them and have them out of the way now until the postseason. And I mean, I tell you what, just a they're just tough this year.
No doubt, Double J. And yeah, 70th quality start. Thanks for the phone call, Double J. 70th quality start of the season today by the Royals rotation. This one turned in by Michael Wacha, his 14th. Looking at the text line, Chris in Topeka points out that the Royals' magic number to clinch a playoff spot is 13. Okay. What else do we have on the text line? Rally Mantis had a great day out at the ballpark. So did Dan and KCK. Glad to hear. John from Missions looking forward to the return of Blue October to Kansas City. No doubt we all are. Scott in Phoenix is shining a light on the outstanding performance of the Royals pitching over the course of this four-game winning streak in this three-game series. Yeah, Royals bullpen has not allowed a run in its last 12 innings. That dates back to Tuesday's game against the Cleveland Guardians. From the 913, Austin, he's down in Orlando, down at Disney, says, Vern, you wouldn't believe how many people have stopped me when they see my Royals shirt and hat and say, let's go Royals. No, you know what? Yeah, that all popped up, you know, 2013, 2014, 2015. Prior to that, you wore a Kansas City hat, logo, gear outside of Kansas City. You were doing it to be a jerk, right? You were being ironic. Oh, man, you know. Or you were just doing it to rep the city more so than the team. But once Haas and the boys did their thing back in 14 and 15, now I see Royals gear everywhere I go. So, no, I'm not shocked at how many times you're being stopped down there at Disney. But, Austin, I appreciate you listening. Listening on that Odyssey app. Great job. Let's go to Phil in Shawnee. Phil, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yes, the magic number is 13. I was going to say that. I'm glad somebody else recognizes that. That makes it, we're not going to fall apart here. The team in 14 went 15-11 in September. They won 9 games when they only scored 4 runs or less. We have that type of team now. Even though we've lost some of the offense, the pitching is making up for it. And I think we win 8 or 9 more games by 4 runs or less, we're easily going to be in it. And it's just a matter of what there are 4 or 5 teams we could be playing in the playoffs. It's just great to be a Royals fan, man.
Isn't it? It's wild, isn't it? To think about, you know, who do I want to play? And 18 games to go, and you we're already that far ahead because you're right, man. They're not going to gag this away. Appreciate the phone call, Phil. Royals sweep the Twins. It's their 9th sweep of the season. That's second most in baseball to the Philadelphia Phillies. Only the Phillies have swept more teams or more series than your boys in blue. Let's go to Mitch in Overland Park. Mitch, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking the call, Vern. It's been a while. You mentioned the day that Benny went down, how you're on the floor. That was a punch in the gut. But man, I wanted to point out that when I called you one time after a blown save, you kind of talked me off the ledge. So hopefully somebody did that with you. What I likened Vince's absence to is going to Thanksgiving dinner and your favorite uncle isn't there. He's just been so solid and dependable and poised and sort of the, besides Salvi and Bobby, the face of the team. Okay, so skip to last night on Fox, national broadcast, when Bobby got his hit for driving the 4th run, the announcer said the best player in baseball on a national broadcast. Yeah. That was kind of nice to hear. Looking forward to the road trip. Thanks for taking my call. Go Royals.
Yeah, it's been 40 years since you've been able to say that, right? 40 years since the best player in baseball was wearing your uniform. And it's never happened where the best player in the NFL and the best player in Major League Baseball have Kansas City across their chest. And that's something. SJ writes in on the text line, Vern, it was a perfect day for baseball and making memories with three generations of my family all out at Kauffman Stadium today. Well, that's a perfect way to wrap this bad boy up. Hey, if you want to make memories with your family out here at Kauffman Stadium, there are only six games remaining in the regular season. I have tickets for the final three. You can win them tomorrow beginning at 5 o'clock on the On Deck Show. Well, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Your chance to win those tickets, 5 o'clock on the On Deck Show right here on 96.5 The Fan. So tomorrow, as we get you ready to watch Brady Singer square off with the left-hander Carlos Rodon, it's a 6:05 first pitch. And again, I'll get you started coming up at 5 o'clock. I want to say a special thanks to James Howell back at the studio. A long night last night, late night last night. Quick turnaround today. And James is just like this team, man. We're not making excuses. We're just showing up, taking it a day at a time, and executing what the team needs from us. James, I appreciate it. Kansas City, I appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow at 5 o'clock on 96.5 The Fan. Take care.
Been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field, his second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.